Do you have brain fog where your brain isn't working quite right? You feel fuzzy in your brain, feel heavy, you know, sometimes your eyes hurt, you can't see clearly, can't think clearly. Everything seems much harder to do, and it's a very unpleasant way of living. Well, today we're going to be talking about how you can overcome brain fog, feel wonderful, and be able to think clearly, see clearly, get things done, and get rid of that cloud, that heavy cloud. We're also going to be talking about the warning signs of brain fog and mental burnout to see if you're having any of those signs in your life and what you can do to make sure you overcome this before it's too late. Because the longer we leave brain fog and mental burnout, the worse it gets and the harder it is to get out of it. So listen to the end so you know exactly what to do to overcome this massive common problem. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hello, Shireen. How are you doing?
Hello, Michael. Wonderful to be here with you.
Yay. So for those of you who don't know us, I'm Michael McIntosh and this is Sister Shireen. And we are both spiritual teachers. We have about 55 years experience teaching, practicing meditation and doing groups, writing books, courses, trainings. And we are here to help you feel wonderful, to thrive, to enjoy your life as a spiritual being in the world, helping you to overcome myths and blocks and all the various issues that stop us from thriving in this world of confusion and madness. There's so much misinformation, and we're trying to make it as simple as possible to clear out all these things and have a great life. So welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome to you too, and welcome to everyone.
Of course. So, Shireen, tell us about brain fog. You know, why is it such a problem and how does this affect us?
You know, recently I was doing something, right? I was doing something major. I was leaving from where I was. I had to go somewhere else and do something for a few days. And then, and it was very exciting. I was really looking forward to it, right? But leading up to it, I was so busy. So busy that I didn't even have time to think busy. And and I'm getting there. I'm flying to that place. And once when I was flying there, I was thinking, oh, I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. I'm so tired. I can't think straight. I feel I'm not being creative. And the one feeling that I kept having was, oh my God, my head's going to explode tired, right? And I'm looking forward to this because I've been planning this for a few weeks. So I'm looking forward to this. I went there and I'm so tired, I can't think straight at all. I'm just like really not in a mood to talk to people, interact with people, and I had to do a whole bunch of things. And what I did was, all I could think of was, when can I go home? That's all I could think of, right? When can I go back? That feeling kept persisting. And this feeling of, you know, just like you're so burnt out, you're mentally so exhausted, you're just irritated, annoyed. Everything that is happening feels like a personal affront. Like someone is trying to really, you know, push your buttons. They might be doing their thing, but that was the feeling I was having. And then I was there and I was thinking, oh, I can't wait to get home, right? And then on my way back home, the same feeling, that feeling in the pit of my stomach, oh God, I have to go back home and deal with all of these construction crews and this and that. I'm thinking, this is never ending. Like, I didn't want to get there. And after I got there, I wanted to come home. And after I came home, on the way back home, I was like, I don't want to go home. And so that feeling of just being very uncomfortable, like you're looking forward to a situation and something happens in the situation where you're not enjoying it. Your mind is constantly racing, it's about to explode, you're not understanding where people are coming from. The worst thing is I was lacking empathy, you know, compassion for where people are coming from, and feeling even if people made a small request, it was just a big thing, you know, like, why are you making this request out of me? And yeah. So that all of that was happening.
So when we have too much going on and too many things and not enough sleep and too many thoughts and too many actions and too much happening, it causes this state of exhaustion, brain fog, and every little thing seems like a major problem. And it's not like life stops being fun. It becomes like, oh my God, it's one unpleasant yes. and nasty thing after the next. And all we want to do is kind of curl up in a ball and kind of go to sleep and hope it all goes away sort of feeling. Like, how can I escape right. this madness? And I think this is a very, very common situation, because the world we live in does have far too many things and too much information and too much of everything. And it's easy to just absorb, and then just there's like a threshold, and then it starts to explode. And then everything starts falling apart. Even if life is actually not that bad in reality, but it seems like it's a big deal, doesn't it?
Right. And it's beyond physical tiredness.
Right.
You are mentally exhausted. You're mm-hmm. drained, you're exhausted, you feel like every little thing is a big situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even realize you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like everyone is making all of these unreasonable requests and you're just on the receiving end of these unreasonable requests.
Oh my God, right? Not another text message, not another email, not another, person asking me to do something.
Interesting thing here was, I was so looking forward to this, right? Like, it robs you of this joy for life.
Right.
That's what mental burnout does to me. It just robs you of this joy for life. You're just going on autopilot and totally, not on just autopilot, right? You're going on like steroids on autopilot. And then you can't seem to stop. It's like a bullet train that's coming, and you can't seem to stop anywhere.
It just keeps going. So what do you think, because you're a very kind of joyful, peaceful person, so what led up to you feeling like that?
One of the things I feel is that the mind is a spiritual organ, right? Like, we have the heart, or even let's say limbs, like legs or hands, they help us, operate in the world. The mind also is a spiritual organ. And just like we can overwork anything, we can overwork our brain, we can overwork our hands, we can overwork our feet, we can overwork even our back. Sometimes mm-hmm. like you keep lifting something, you can overwork your back. I feel that we are, what for me was this overworking of the mind, that the mind got totally too much going on. And it could be a lot of tedious tasks, right? It might not be anything major trauma is happening. It could be trauma, or it could trigger a trauma that has already happened. But it's just a whole bunch of tedious tasks, like get up and do the same tedious task every day, then get up the next day and do the same tedious task, and then they get up the next day and then to do the same tedious task, right? And then let's say, thankfully, I don't have children. If you have children, then they are every day, let's say your child is going to school and every day they don't want to get up. And every day you have to make sure they're up and make sure you make them get up, right? And so after about 10 or 20 or a few years of those, right, a few years of doing that same thing, you're totally mm-hmm. ready to explode. And so I think it's just the overwork, when your mind gets overworked. Because
yeah,
everything
so
gets
too
overworked.
Much. Yeah, so it's too much thinking without a break, without like some space from it, and without variety, just the same old. Because the mind, I think Milton said that the mind is a fascinating place that can create a hell of heaven and a heaven of hell. And that kind of sums it up, doesn't it? that when the mind is thinking about all this stuff too much, we might actually be fine. I mean, I remember experiencing times where I think actually you asked me to do something one time, and I was just like, what the hell are you doing? And in retrospect, it wasn't a big deal, but I had so many things going on at the same time that I was just like, there's just no way.
Thanks for telling me now, Michael.
we had a chat about this before, but then later on, when I had taken a break from everything and done my practices, I was like, what? That wasn't a big deal. But it's like, if we've got one thing and then another thing and then another thing, and it keeps getting loaded up again and again and again, and then there's just one extra one, and it's just the straw that snaps the camel's back. But it's not really that straw. It's all the other stuff that's been going on, possibly for days, weeks, months, or even years, that leads to that snapping. And so mental burnout or brain fog isn't something that we just did today and caused it. It's something that is caused by a bunch of other things over a longer period of time, just like gaining weight or just like other diseases. It's little by little by little, it gradually gets worse, and then finally it's a major issue and we can't think properly and life's a disaster.
You know, one thing we have to be very careful about mental burnout. Brain fog, I feel, is a result of mental burnout.
Mm-hmm.
And so mental burnout really is like really overstressing the mind, right? Overworking the mind. And what happens is, let's say I overworked my back. And I have a previous injury, like back injury, and I overworked my back, and I continue to overwork. What's going to happen? I'm really seriously going to hurt it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel that if I don't pay attention to mental burnout and understand, just like I would be really careful. Let's say I have a bad shoulder because I overworked my shoulder and I have a very bad shoulder. I'm going to baby it a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go lift heavy weights or, you know, push heavy objects. I'm going to think, no, this needs to heal, and then I'll take care of it, you know. But then I'll take care of whatever heavy things that need to be taken care of. Like recently someone was in the center and they said, no, I can't lift more than 15 pounds because the doctor told me not to lift more than 15 pounds because my shoulder is not doing well. Mm-hmm. And so, see, there is awareness around it, education around it. The doctors talk to you about it. Yeah, don't lift more than 15 pounds. All of that is going on, right? Because it's physical and you can actually see it. Right. I feel we need the same kind of awareness around a mental burnout,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's the same kind of exhaustion. It's the same kind of overwork. It's very similar. Your shoulder hurting and not doing too much is very similar to your mental burnout because you did too much and you stressed the mind.
Yeah, and that affects the brain. You know, so
exactly. That is the result of brain fog. Brain fog is a result of that. Brain fog is a result of mental burnout.
Right.
And so brain fog, pretty much what brain fog is doing is, brain fog is telling us that the brain has overheated. Just like an engine in a car overheats. And there's certain symptoms of the car and the engine overheating. Brain fog is the symptom of the mind overheating. And the symptoms are, you can't think straight. You don't know what day it is. You can't remember things. You can't remember what happened 10 minutes ago. You're having a conversation and you think, oh God, I should have written that down because I don't remember what happened.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, what we discussed. And so all of these things are going on because the brain fog is a result of the mental burnout.
Interesting. So what are the kind of warning signs that if someone, that we need to pay attention to?
That we are having brain fog?
Yeah.
I feel one of the main warning signs is that we get up exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we wake up, we feel exhausted. Like we don't have a good night's rest. And the good night's mm-hmm. rest, even if the body has a good night's rest, the brain is not, you know, it's totally overheated.
Right.
Right. And and then you're not enthusiastic. You're not enthusiastic mm-hmm. about whatever is happening in your life. And also you lose creativity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, that is like such a punishment, right? You're not being creative.
Mm.
And, you know, and also, you know, like we spoke, like we are not able to remember little things, right? Like there's a fog going on. And right. even major milestones in your life, right? Like big major milestones in your life, you're not able to enjoy those milestones. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say you have a birthday coming up, you have an anniversary coming up, you have a holiday coming up. For you, the holiday is not just a holiday. It's just another chore.
Right. It's just everything seems like work. So if everything seems yes. like, oh God, I have to slog through, there's just more, everything's just hard work and it's another annoying day and I have to do all this tedious stuff. That's a warning sign, the mental yes. burnout is going. Because instead of it being like, hooray, we're alive. I mean, I remember I was driving back from somewhere the other day and I was just turning the corner and I was like, what a joy. Just to be alive, what a gift. I was just like, this is the best. Because I wasn't feeling any mental, but I was like, this is great. This is fun, just driving around, buying food. It's like, yeah, it's so fun. But if I'm having mental burnout, I'm like, oh my God, I've got to go to the store. I've got to do this. And so there's a big, big difference, isn't there? And then waking up, wanting to like get out of bed and have a good life is different from waking up thinking, oh God, can't I just go back to sleep? And
thinking, oh, just maybe 5 more minutes of snooze button. It right. turns to 10 right. more minutes. And before you know yeah. it, you're snoozing for half an hour. You still haven't yeah. gotten out of bed. Those are warning signs.
Right.
And we yeah. should heed these warning signs, right?
Yeah.
If you do not heed warning signs of brain fog, we are really not taking care of ourselves.
What are the stakes? What's the worst case scenario of not doing anything?
We get to chronic stress, chronic anxiety, sometimes even depression.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People say depression is a mental chemical imbalance. But many times I feel, I'm not talking about clinical depression and stuff, I'm talking about low-grade depression. I feel low-grade depression really is just a mental burnout. It's just brain right. fog.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And it's gone too far, yeah.
It's gone too far. And so if we heed the warning signs and just do something about it, then it will not go that far where you're having low-grade depression.
Right. I think it can lead to clinical mental illnesses as well after a while. Like where do these mental illnesses appear from? They don't just all appear out of nowhere. There's like I know people who've been diagnosed with certain mental illnesses and what happened before that? You have to think, well, how come they ended up with this diagnosis? What preceded that was chronic stress and not getting enough sleep. Too many things going on, bad diet choices, sometimes drug abuse, and all those things combined basically reached a point of snapping where then they have the certain symptoms and they go to the doctor and now they're called schizophrenic or manic depressive or bipolar or whatever whatever it is. But that didn't just appear out of nowhere because they didn't have that diagnosis previously. But certain things led up to it. So I think
we have to be careful. You're not saying every manic depressive is because of brain fog, right?
I'm saying that there's a certain sometimes. Connection. Where do mental illnesses come from in the first place? I'm not saying this is the only cause of it, but I have seen, because I know a lot of people who've been through these things and been to doctors and everything, very common too much stress, too much burnout, too much for too long.
Yes.
Reaches that point when then they need medication. And then they can sometimes get off of it. You know, that's a whole different topic. But it does seem to cause
at some extreme.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're right. That sometimes it is the cause, right? Because one of the things I've noticed is that at some point, you have to pay the piper, the Pied Piper, you know, like you,
Pied Piper will be paid. Yeah.
Sometimes you have to pay it, right? It's like a credit card debt. In here, maybe you can declare Chapter 11 bankruptcy or something like that. But in terms of the mind, in terms of the brain, at some point, you have to pay. There's no other option. You can't declare bankruptcy in that case. You have to pay. And so before you have to pay and before the debt gets too high, before it gets too severe, we have to look at the warning signs and really take stock of our life. And, you know, for me, right, what would you suggest that to overcome mental burnout, that you, what did you do in your life when you had mental burnout?
What I've personally found is that when I'm not giving myself sufficient space between things, when it's back to back things going on and there's no like integration period, that's what causes it for me. That there's, because it's one thing followed by another thing followed by another thing, and then it just goes on all day long. And so what I do to avoid that happening is to make sure I get out the house and go on walks. This might sound quite a simple thing to do, but that many people will, like, they either work online in their house, which is actually a good and a bad thing, or they go to work and they come back and they're doing something else and it just never ends. So either way, it can just be this relentless grind potentially. So I find that getting away somewhere different where I'm not, and there's no information, I'm not bringing a podcast to listen to or music or anything, just go on walks, and I do like little meditation practices while I'm walking. Like, I'm a spiritual being with one foot and I'm a peaceful being, and I just think certain good thoughts again and again and again and look into the distance and just move the body and just look into the sky and the clouds. And it's actually very helpful for the brain and for the eyes to look into the horizon, right? To just see.
Right, instead of just a screen, right?
Yeah, because many people, you know, because it's a connected information society, we're looking at screens. Short vision. So to look into the distance, move the body, that is really, really important. The other thing that I find helpful is of course morning meditation to clarify who I am and what's important in my life before I do anything else. Getting enough sleep is extremely important, because I personally think that brain fog in terms of the physical thing is largely, in my case, a combination of thinking too much but also not sleeping enough. I've noticed that even if I'm doing my best to think properly, if I don't get enough sleep, my day is pretty much wrecked just for that reason alone. And so one of the things that I've found, because I can work from home and I can do whatever I want, which I designed it that way on purpose, is that when I feel tired, feel that kind of like that feeling coming in, I go in my little nap room. I have a little room where I have a nap, and I lie down, and I do like a meditation nap. So I may or may not fall asleep, but I'm lying down and I'm thinking, okay, I'm a spiritual being, and I imagine going into this world of peace, like this light. And so I'm just aiming to go into the light, go into the peace. And I normally pretty much always fall asleep. Possibly it's only about 5 minutes of sleep. I don't know how long it is. Normally this is like somewhere between like 10 and 20 minutes total. And then And then I come round, come through, and I'm almost consistently, I'm like, oh my God, I feel so much better. it's like I feel like a wonderful, wonderful shift in my feelings.
Most of the suggestions you gave are very useful because they are something you have to do every day, right?
Right.
It's you have to incorporate every day. Like mm-hmm. morning meditation, you have to incorporate every day. Going for walks, you have to incorporate every day. Mm-hmm. Because there, people mistakenly think that if you are so tired, you need a vacation. But the vacation, yeah. what happens is you go on a vacation, you get time off and you do, it's fine, but you come back and you come back into the same pattern. Right, you come back into yeah. the same self-sabotaging pattern that you were doing before.
Right.
And so it's so important. So one of the things, my suggestion is, yes, definitely what Michael is saying about everyday meditation, morning meditation, walks, look in the horizon, you know, just keep looking at the horizon instead of just, you know, short distance. Yeah. All of that is very important. But sometimes I feel that many of us cannot really structure our day, like taking a nap or something, right? We can't structure our day like that. And so I feel that we should definitely figure something out that we do not just once a day, but once an hour. And remember, this is not a luxury, right? It's not luxury. Oh, I'll do if it's possible, if I have time. No. If you do something once an hour, even if you take a 1 minute break once an hour, it really makes a difference. And when I stop taking that 1 minute break once an hour, that is when my brain starts overheating, right? Because I'm not taking those breaks.
So what do you mean exactly?
Like one minute, right? Just 1 minute. I just be very quiet. And even, okay, if you don't want to do 1 minute once an hour, like, you know, put a timer and just take a breather. And just remember who you are. Remember you're a spiritual being. Remember your peace, right? Your original nature is peace. Just experience peace even for 1 or 2 seconds, right? Those kinds of things.
So practically, let's imagine someone is busy. So we have two things we're talking about, right? One is that a lot of people, let's be honest, can actually organize their life to take breaks and go on walks, let's be honest, right? I mean, what I personally find is that I make excuses myself not to get out of the house because, oh, I want to finish this project. Oh, I want to do this thing. But then I start to feel like I'm going slightly mad because I'm in the house too much. And so that's up to me. So like all what I've noticed is that this, we talk about this again and again, the beginning of any good practice has resistance. Like everyone has to really understand this. So getting out of the house, grabbing my shoes, keys, and leaving the house is the hardest part of the ritual. Once I'm in the car or once I walk down the road, or just walk down the neighborhood, then it's fine, right? But that, like, there's a little, you know, it's like the angel on one shoulder, devil on the other shoulder. The devil says, no, you're busy, finish this thing. The angel says, no, get out of the house now. What are you doing, right? Which one are we going to listen to? So most of us can do some version of these practices to avoid brain fog, right? But let's say there's a particularly busy day and you can't do something like that.
I was not necessarily talking about taking a walk. At some point during the day, you could, you know, go take a walk. But taking a nap, like when I was working, right? Where could I mm-hmm. have taken a nap? It's harder.
I don't know. I'm just saying some people...
It's harder. It's hard.
Yeah, we're not going to discount.
Sometimes it's harder.
That's true. Yeah, so we're saying there's two sides to this. One is people who can't take naps and whatever else because they're working in an office or something. When I was working in an office once, I actually went upstairs into one of the rooms and took a nap on the floor, actually, with a little thing behind my head. And no one seemed to mind in this like little library area. But that being said, let's imagine someone can't take a nap and they can't go on a walk. So what could they do very, very specifically in that case?
One thing we need to understand even before we come up with a solution, right, is this is not an option. Because if we keep continuing with brain fog, if we have symptoms of not wanting to get out of bed, feeling tired when I'm getting up, exhausted, brain will explode, not being able to think properly, remember things, you know, remember what's going on. You tell something someone, you know, and I turn back and I forgot what I told them. You walk into a room and you think, oh, why did I walk in here? All of this, right? Just remember, if we have those symptoms, right, it's not an option. Because just like if you really hurt your shoulder, you're not just going to go lift heavy things, right? Because that's not an option. You're just not going to ignore it and just go lift heavy things. So in the same way, whatever is happening with brain fog is a very serious issue, and you have to think of it as a necessity, not a luxury, not optional. That's the first suggestion. You know, it's right. Not optional. The way I dealt with this, right, I couldn't really reduce my workload too much. So I reduced it 30%. So I started doing 70% of what I usually do. And that
So you eliminated
really helped.
Things out of your life.
Yes. And even if it is for a few weeks, right, you mm-hmm. need to recoup. You can't totally eliminate everything out of your life.
No.
You know, but you can eliminate some things because it's for the health of you, the soul, the spiritual being, and it's the health of your body because ultimately it affects your body. And ultimately it really affects everything. It affects your financial well-being, because you can't think creatively, you like whatever. It affects your relationships, it affects everything. To just take this, right, take some time, take some things off your plate. Whatever you feel are not essential, take them off your plate. Even if it is scrolling, you know, doom scrolling, take that off your plate for sure. because that's not helping. That's not helping.
You mean TikTok? 4 hours of TikTok a day isn't going to help brain fog?
No, and mental especially burnout. Before going to bed, you're watching all that, waking up, you're thinking of all of that. No, that's not helping.
So 3 hours of movies an evening, followed by 2 hours of short videos isn't helping?
No, think it's helping. You think this is me time, downtime. It's not me time, downtime. It's just adding to the problem. It's just camouflaging the symptoms for a very short time. That's what that's doing. Camouflaging the symptoms for a very short time.
Yeah, what I've noticed that happens is that when we absorb too much information from either media or just our life generally, it becomes overwhelming, right? And there's a need to subconsciously process all this stuff so it can kind of be sorted through on a mental level. But when that sorting happens, that causes some level of distress and anxiety and whatever else, because there's all this stuff having to be sorted through and processed. And because of that unpleasant feeling, the easy solution is more information, right? Which then causes more of a problem, and then the solution to that is more information. And I think this is like a negative loop that's going on, that kind of too much causes a problem and the solution is more, but it's not really the solution, like the temporary solution, and then it's more again and more again and more again until we finally snap. So what we're saying here is there's going to be some level of discomfort when you stop and start to process, but the other side of that is that you start to get better sleep, feel better, feel more relaxed, and actually heal these things.
The one thing that I tried, and we want our listeners, we want you to try it, and tell us how you feel about it. Did you try it? What's happening? Is be in this moment, right in this moment. And for that, for me to be in this moment, right, people say breath and all of that, right? Yes, it's good to breathe. It's good to have nice deep breaths. That's important. But to really breathe and connect my breath to the soul, just breathe in and out and realize that the soul is breathing in and out, and just be in this moment. And I tell myself that in this moment, I don't need anything. I have everything. I am peace. I have everything. I'm in this moment. In this moment, I'm just me and the breath, me and my thoughts, peaceful, calm, just I am a peaceful soul. I'm breathing through this body. I'm just here in this moment. I'm fine. I'm safe. I don't need anything. Even if we do that, right, for once an hour, and if you can't do once an hour, once in 2 hours, however many ever times, 8 times a day, sometimes you just breathe, break and breathe and remember who you are as a spiritual being. Meditation. It's really simple, right? Just wherever you're sitting, wherever you are, and if you can't find time, right, when I was working, I couldn't do it in my office because it was just, attracting too much attention. And so I started going into the toilet and just took a 5-minute break in the toilet, right? Just sit down. It doesn't matter where you're sitting. Just sit down and just be very quiet and then start breathing from your stomach, deep breaths. And so take one or two deep breaths, breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. And now just remember you're a spiritual being and the body is breathing in and breathing out. Now be aware of yourself as a spiritual being. The soul is breathing through the body. The body, see the body, watch the breath, right? You can watch, just watch the breath go in and out of the body. And then come into the awareness that I am right here in this moment. I am peace. I don't need anything in this moment. I'm a beautiful, beautiful being. And just be very, very quiet. Again, breathe in and breathe out. And watch the body breathe. And feel that in this moment, I'm safe, I'm fine, I am peace. We want you to try this meditation, this method, right? Just taking a break. And let us know how it goes.
Yeah, leave a comment. Leave a comment if you're watching a video of this. What is your mental burnout like, and how does it help when you do these things? What has helped you? Maybe there's some other methods that you could share that people would benefit from as well. This is something that we have to take seriously. Just like we brush our teeth every day, otherwise there's a problem with our teeth, and we have to eat well, otherwise a problem with our health. This is in order to avoid mental health problems down the road, and in order to help reduce any ones that we have now. This is really important. And even if we do, even if we're feeling fine and we think, you know, I don't need to worry about this, it's even important then, because when I'm working with my clients in my business around helping people with coaching, I tell them that when you're feeling really good, that's the time to be extra careful, because that's when normally we do stupid things and think, oh, well, I can do anything, I feel invincible. But then we end up causing ourselves problems down the road. So whether or not you feel terrible, or whether you start feeling better and better and better, still keep doing the practices, because they'll prevent the mental burnout down the road. So we don't want to wait around till we're totally losing it to have to do this stuff. Ideally, we want to continuously have those like mini vacations during our life. Yay. So any final thoughts about this?
No, I second what you're saying, right? Take it seriously. Yeah. If you're experiencing any of the symptoms, take it seriously.
It's up to you. You don't have to take it seriously, but we're trying to help you avoid having a breakdown. Let's really and truly from our hearts, because we know the world we live in has so many crazy things and so much distractions and so many people and so much of everything that more and more people are dealing with mental breakdowns, brain fog than ever. And the good news is that if we implement these things we were talking about over a period of time, we can reverse that stuff. And also to make sure you get enough sleep. It's very, very important. I think a big part of it is getting enough sleep, going to bed early enough, prioritizing your evening practices. Because if we get a good night's rest, it can set us up for more success with these other things. So it's a holistic approach to life. It's not just one thing or another thing. It's a combination of these different methods that leads to joy and happiness and freedom.
Yay. We want everyone to have joy and happiness and freedom.
Joy and happiness and bliss. So that you wake up in the morning feeling happy, inspired, and ready to enjoy your beautiful life and create something wonderful. So we always end with a blessing. What do you have for us?
I'm going to pick number 70 because we were talking about canon 70. See 70? 70. Because before we started this, we were talking about Canon C70.
Right. The camera that we use, yeah.
The camera.
Okay.
Observation. From the vantage point of a quiet observer, you've learned to watch life unfold with clarity. This peaceful detachment allows you to be untouched by situations or influences. Your observation provides an unclouded view of life's rich tapestry.
What a wonder. So enjoy. And in the next episode, we're going to be talking about the mind-body connection. So stay tuned for that and how that affects stress, how the mind and body will connect. And in case you don't know this, we have about $10,000 worth of free meditations, courses, trainings, all completely free. And you can get that in the links below this episode. So thank you for being here. Hope you're feeling better already and wishing you every success in clearing that brain fog out of the way, getting rid of all that, those negative thoughts and feelings and that fuzziness. And look forward to talking to you in the next session. Lots and lots of love.
Thank you, Brother Michael.
Yay.